Hello there. Welcome once again to the program. My name is Gary Zimek, and you know what? It is an absolute pleasure to spend this time with you. Thanks for stopping by. You know the deal. I saved you a chair at the table. Pull up the chair, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and I'm going to be around here for the next 30 minutes. I hope you'll be able to join me for the entire show. Well, this week we're going to look at the Mass readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. And the message is about the importance of humility. Now, you probably know Jesus spoke a lot about the need to be humble. We'll talk about humility, what it is and what it isn't, and why it's important as we read these Mass readings. And again, you know, it's one of these things that we've heard Jesus say these certain messages over and over again. Humility is one of those things. We've heard all about it. But sometimes we're confused. What does it mean to be humble? Well, hopefully, by the end of this program, you will have a better idea of what it means to be humble and why it matters that we are humble. So settle in, get yourself comfortable. And if you would, please join me. Let's begin with the prayer, and then we'll do something else on the other side of the prayer. So I'm going to leave you in suspense a little bit, but stick with me, and let's turn to our Heavenly Father, who is waiting to hear from us right now. And please join me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, what a great honor it is to be able to spend time in your presence. You know, Father, as I lift this prayer up, I can't see you. I can't necessarily feel you, but I know by faith, Father, that you are present. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you are present, that you took care of all of our needs throughout our lives. Otherwise, we would not exist. I'm grateful, Father, that you created us and adopted us as your children. I'm grateful that you sent Jesus into the world to redeem us. Thank you, Father. Father, we come to you today and acknowledge the fact that we are completely dependent upon you. We did nothing to create ourselves. You created us out of nothing. And then you went and adopted us as your children and transformed us through the sacrament of baptism. What an incredible gift, Father. We are very grateful for that. We recognize right now that you are watching over us, that you hear these words, that you can see us. We also recognize that you love us and that you are bigger than any problem we could ever face. I forget that sometimes, Father, but I need to remember that. Thank you for your willingness to get involved in my life and help me out. Father, we pray for protection from any dangers this day. We pray for our family members. We pray for our friends. We pray for all of those who have asked us to help them. All of those who have asked us to pray for them, I'm sorry. We pray for those for whom we promised to pray. We pray for all around our world who are suffering in any way. We pray for world leaders. We pray for all who find themselves dealing with poverty or persecution or hunger or weather-related issues. Please come to their assistance, Father, and let us know if there's anything we can do to help. Father, we pray that we can all one day reach heaven and in the meantime have a better relationship with you while we're still on earth. I pray, Father, for all of those who are looking for employment, those who are currently out of work especially. We pray for those who have left the church. We pray for those who are in most need of your mercy. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for those who care for the sick. We pray for all doctors, all nurses, all who work in the medical profession. We pray for first responders, members of the police and fire departments. We pray for all who serve in the military and their families. And Father, finally, I pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit to give me the words to deliver on this program, and that also you'll open up our hearts and our minds so that we can hear your message today, Father, and put it into practice in our own lives. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. In case you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimek. We do this show each week, and we thank you for tuning in, whether you're doing it online, using one of the podcast services, or maybe you're listening over the air on one of the numerous Catholic radio stations that carry the program. However you're doing it, I'm just glad you're here with me on the show, and I thank you for joining me. So what I want to do now is first I want to give my information out. If you want to find out more about my work, maybe invite me to speak at your parish, find out about my books, including my new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard, I invite you to visit my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And one of the things we began last week is, and we'll do this for the next several weeks, as we work our way through this new book of mine, Lord Save Me, I want to highlight one of the chapters each week. Now, last week we did chapter one. This week, you guessed it, we're going to do chapter two. Chapter two, When You Are Afraid. So I'm just going to read this brief paragraph that opens the chapter, and then I'll share a Bible verse with you. And each chapter has numerous Bible verses and reflections. I'm just going to read the opening paragraph and then one Bible verse and just say a couple words about it before we get into the readings for this week. Fear is a powerful emotion. While it's technically nothing more than a feeling, it can often cause us to turn away from the Lord and His plans for our lives. In order to remind us of the potentially negative effects of fear, the message, "Be not afraid," appears hundreds of times in the Bible. It's important to remember, however, that the emotion of fear can serve an important purpose in our lives. In addition to alerting us to potential danger and giving us the chance to take appropriate action, fear can remind us of how much we need God. Each time we're afraid is a new opportunity to place our trust in Jesus. So that's the opening paragraph to the chapter, When You Are Afraid. And here's a Bible verse that I chose. And again, there's many verses contained in each chapter with a short reflection. Just let me read this verse. Psalm 56, verse 4, "When I am afraid, in you I place my trust." And, you know, there's an example of what I said in the introduction. Every occasion of fear. And, you know, there's many things that can cause us to be afraid. Some of them are justified, some of them are exaggerated, but look, we're all going to feel fear in different ways based upon different things. But anytime we are afraid provides us an opportunity to turn to God and say, "Lord, I need your help. Please help me." It also gives us an opportunity to worry, but that's not a good response to fear. You might not be able to control the emotion of fear because we can't control our emotions, and the church recognizes that. The church also recognizes that emotions are neither right nor wrong. They're just feelings. But what matters is how we respond. So when I'm afraid, right, and I get afraid because of many different things in life, I tend to have that tendency. When I am afraid, I can always choose to turn to the Lord and ask for His help and protection. So that's just a little insight for you. If you want to pick up the book and read more, it's Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard from Ave Maria Press. That's my latest book. You can find out more by visiting my website, followingthetruth.com. All right, that's it for the book. Well, again, we're going to keep doing that for the next several weeks until we get through the book. But right now, we're going to get into the Mass readings for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. The importance of humility. That's when I prayed about this. That's the theme that jumped out at me. So let's start by doing what I always do on the show. We're going to start with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. As the church tells us frequently, that the gospels have a place of prominence in the Bible, because the gospels are the primary way that we learn through Scripture about the life of Jesus Christ. So the Gospels have an important place. I like to lead with the Gospel, and then I back up and do the other readings and try to look for that common theme The gospel for the 22nd Sunday in Ordinary Time comes from Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who had been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. And Jesus said, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him. And the host who invited both of you may approach you and say, 'Give your place to this man,' and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you are invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, 'My friend, move up to a higher position.' Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to pay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." So Jesus is basically speaking to the guests at the banquet and the person who was giving the banquet. He's addressing them. Now, this is a parable. This is a parable that he's explaining to the people to give them an idea of the importance of humility. So we got people at a banquet. Jesus is there, and he gives this parable, which really is addressed not only to the people attending, but to the person who is hosting the party. And essentially what Jesus is saying is the fact that don't try to show off. Don't try to take the place of honor at the table, but take the lowest place. In other words, humble. And obviously what he's trying to teach us is how we should relate to him. We should recognize that Jesus is Lord. And we should recognize that he can do things that we can't do. You know, those of us who tend to be anxious and tend to sometimes worry about problems, we forget that. And we want to try to take control over things which are uncontrollable. And that's why we become anxious. Jesus is telling us that he wants us to place our lives in his hands. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to surrender. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything. It means that we recognize who we are and who he is. And that applies to both the guests at this banquet. You know, don't try to show off to the other guests, proving that you're better than the other guests. Or if you're the one having a banquet, don't invite just those people. And obviously this applies to a lot more than a banquet. It's a general example, which the people could have really understood. But, you know, maybe you can understand it too. If you're having a party, or if you're inviting somebody over to your house, just don't invite people who you think can help you, right? He's saying invite those who can't repay, the poor. That's called charity. And again, it extends way beyond just having a party. You may feel not very rich. You may not be rich. You may be very poor. But there are still people who may be in a position to be unable to repay you or to reward you. You know, people you can't use for something. And I'm not saying we do that. But sometimes we look for the reward. That comes from the fallen human nature that we all possess. And there's that tendency. And the Lord wants to make sure that we don't fall into that. And there are going to be some people who can't repay you, who can't help you in any way. But people who you can help. And we recognize, but again, if we have the proper idea of our relationship, of who we are to God, right? How he's infinitely greater than we are, then we're not going to look down on anybody. And, you know, I hate to say it, but it even happens at church sometimes. We look at certain people. You know I've done it. I'm not proud to admit it, but I've done it. I think, oh, yeah, that person there. Hypocrite, right? And that may be true. But we don't want to look down and feel superior to somebody because we go to daily mass or we receive communion on the tongue instead of in the hand or, you know, numerous things. And I've fallen into all these traps over the years. And you start thinking we're better than somebody else. But that's not the way the Lord wants us to think. He wants us to realize who we are, especially who we are in his eyes, you know, who we are really, how he sees us, because he sees us as we really are. We can't fool him. He sees all the imperfections that maybe other people can't even see because he can read our hearts. It's important for us to remember that he's God and we're not. And really that affects everything. It affects the way we pray. It affects the way we reach out to other people, the way we treat other people, you know? So let's look at the readings now and see if we can find this thread of humility, the importance of humility throughout all of the readings. The first reading comes from the book of Sirach, chapter 3, beginning in verse 17. My child, conduct your affairs with humility. Well, I guess you see the humility connection there. And you will be loved more than a giver of gifts. Humble yourself the more, the greater you are. And you will find favor with God. Ooh, isn't that good? Humble yourselves the more, the greater you are. And you will find favor with God. What is too sublime for you, seek not. Into things beyond your strength, search not. How many times do we do that? Oh, God, I don't understand why you're letting this happen. Why? How can this be? This is so bad. Can't you just make this happen, work out for me, Lord? Because this, I can't understand it. This is horrible. You know, and that's a position of pride. Do I do that sometimes? Yeah, I'm trying to get better at it, but I find myself doing that sometimes. A humble person, especially before God, recognizes, wow, I'm able to speak to God in prayer. You know, that doesn't mean you can't let him know what's bothering you. He wants that. But I think the why question can get us into trouble sometimes, a lot of times. I've always found it better to, instead of saying, why, Lord, say, okay, Lord, how do you want me to respond in this situation? Other than, instead of, why are you doing this to me, Lord? You know, recognizing that he loves us and that he is all powerful. If he's allowing us to suffer, there's got to be a reason. And sometimes we get ourselves in trouble by trying to figure out why God is allowing certain things to happen, as opposed to trying to determine how I should respond in this situation. The mind of a sage appreciates proverbs, and an attentive ear is the joy of the wise. Water quenches a flaming fire, and alms atone for sin. So the message of that first reading, a short reading, not too, just a few verses, is humility, especially when it comes to viewing ourselves in God's eyes. And that really is going to affect the way that we view other people and treat other people. Because in God's eyes, we're all equal. We're created equal. He loves each one of us with the same infinite, unconditional love. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 68, God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. The just rejoice and exult before God. They are glad and rejoice. Sing to God, chant praise to his name, whose name is the Lord. The father of orphans and the defender of widows is God in his holy dwelling. God gives a home to the forsaken. He leads forth prisoners to prosperity. So see, this is what Jesus was talking about in the second half of that parable. If you're the one holding the dinner party, if you are in a position of authority, treat others the way God treats you. That's an important lesson for us because God loves us all. He doesn't shun the poor. He doesn't just try to grant favors to the wealthy. No, God loves everyone. And it's not like you have to make an appointment with God to speak to him, and he'll only talk to you if you're influential or you're important. No. Any of us can have an audience with God at any time. When Jesus came to die on the cross, he died for all of us. No matter how important or unimportant we may be in the eyes of the world. Back to the psalm, a bountiful rain you showered down, O God, upon your inheritance. You restored the land when it languished. Your flock settled in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided it for the needy. God, in your goodness, you have made a home for the poor. And that's I think, the lesson that we need to get from these readings. In God's eyes, we're poor because we need him. We need his help. And he wants us to realize that. He also wants to help us. Because what happens when we get too proud, when we think we're not needy? We forget about him. The Israelites did this over and over and over again in the Old Testament. When they needed God, they knew where to find him. But when things started to get better for them, they forgot about him. Then he had to remind them. You know, this is a constant theme that we see in the Old Testament. The people forgot about their need for God. And they started worshiping idols, moving away from him. And then he had to remind them. But he did that out of love. He didn't do that out of mean, because he was mean to them. He was trying to get them to come back. And there's nothing like a good crisis to help us to remember where the Lord is and why we need him, right? And that's what he was trying to do. Second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning in verse 18. Brothers and sisters, you have not approached that which could be touched, in a blazing fire and gloomy darkness and storm and a trumpet blast and a voice speaking words, such that those who heard begged that no message be further addressed to them. No. You have approached Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels in festal gathering, and the assembly of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, and God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the just made perfect, and Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and the sprinkled blood that speaks more eloquently than that of Abel. You know, sometimes it's tricky to find the common theme between the second reading and all the other readings. In ordinary time, the way it works, and you and I have talked about this before, the Gospels proceed sequentially. Now, right now, we are making our way through the Gospel of Luke. So next week, we'll read the next chunk in the Gospel of Luke, and so on. And this is how ordinary time progresses. And what the church does is choose a first reading and a responsorial psalm from wherever to match that gospel, to sort of supplement it. The second reading, much like the gospel, proceeds sequentially. Right now, we're going through the letter to the Hebrews. We're in chapter 12 now. So, again, this is just during ordinary time, during Advent, during Easter, during Lent. The readings are chosen, the second readings are specifically chosen to match up with the other readings. We see this on solemnities and various feast days as well. But in ordinary time, the second reading is just, okay, we have this piece of Hebrews. Next week, we're going to look at the next piece. So it's sometimes difficult on the surface to find a theme. But what I see, and again, I prayed about this before I started, was the reminder that when we turn to God in prayer, when we turn to our Heavenly Father in prayer, even though we can't see him, we need to remind ourselves that these are not just words, or we're not just talking to anybody. But we're talking to the God of the universe. It's a real privilege, and we don't want to lose sight of that. We might not be able to see him. Might not be able to see Jesus. We can't see the Holy Spirit. We can't see the angels and the saints anymore. But we know by faith that they're there. We don't want to forget who they are and who we are. And look, this is not making us feel bad. It's not designed to make you feel bad about yourself. Oh, God's so much better than me. No, what it's designed is to remind you and me that we were created by God out of nothing. And that when we were baptized, we were transformed into new creatures. We didn't look any differently after our baptism, but we were transformed. and incorporate it into the body of Christ. So that now, with the help of God's grace, we can one day live with God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus and all the angels and saints in heaven. That would not be possible unless God transformed us, and the church gives us that opportunity through the sacrament of baptism. So you are special. Just the fact that you were created should let you know that you're special. And then that you were adopted by God as his children, that's even more special. He chose to do that. He chose to create you. He chose to adopt you. So we need to recognize that we're creatures, but that we were created out of love. And God really cares about each of us individually. So yeah, we're called to be humble, but we shouldn't feel bad about ourselves. But we just have to be careful about pride, because pride is one thing that can block us from entering the kingdom of God. And we have to be really, really cautious about that. All right, so I want to thank you for listening to the show today. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you got something out of it. If you have any questions, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. I'd always love to hear from you. And know that you are in my prayers. I pray for you every day, and I would ask that you would kindly pray for me and my family as well. We would really appreciate that. I want to remind you again, if you want to find out more about my work or maybe pick up a copy of my latest book, Lord Save Me, you can do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're at it, check out my other books and sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. And if you want, you can even bring me to speak at your parish or your conference. You could find out how to do that by using the contact tab at followingthetruth.com. All right, I am getting ready to run. Remember this lesson today, this lesson about humility. Recognize who you are and who God is. And if we do that and recognize that all that the Lord has given to us and the way he treats us, we're fired up and inspired, hopefully, to treat other people the same way. That's what the Lord's asking us to do. Have yourself a great week. Thank you for tuning in. God bless you. We look forward to joining you next week on the program. Bye-bye.